like to invite Molly Plunkett up to introduce our presenter for today.
I asked to do this because there's a little bit of a story of the program that we've got today, which starts with Ron Fry, wherever you are, Ron Fry, who many months ago said to me once, you know, why is it that people can't, you know, have civil or discussions that lead to some kind of understanding around political issues? And I said, well, there's a group that does exactly that kind of thing. And the group is represented by our speaker today, Tom Sinski. I have been on the periphery of that group for 6 to 9 months. I have to say I have not been an active participant, but I thought they just have a terrific mission and something that people would be interested in hearing more about. And then today I found out that I've actually met Tom Sinski and his wife probably 15 or 20 years ago. His wife and I went to Iowa Writers Workshop, and she remembered that, and my memory being what it is, I did not. But it's really great to have them here. And as I said, Tom is a retired physician, and I think he's going to tell you everything else about how he came to be involved in Braver Angels, which I think was originally called Better Angels, based on a phrase by Lincoln. But then there was a copyright issue, God knows what. So it is now Braver Angels, and I thank Tom and his wife for coming from Merrimack today to talk to us about it. Thanks.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's great to be here. I'm going to talk to you about Braver Angels, and once we get the screen down, we'll start with things here. I do live up in Merrimack, and I actually I'm a Wisconsin native, lived in Dubuque, Iowa for about 32 years, and then retired up to Merrimack, so kind of in the area. So our agenda today will be to talk about what is Braver Angels and why I became involved in the group, and then what Braver Angels might have to offer to you. Braver Angels is a national movement to bridge the partisan divide and strengthen our democratic republic. The organization was founded in 2017 after the very divisive election of 2016. And the goal was to reduce political polarization and reunite Americans. The underlying idea is that America cannot be a functioning democracy unless its citizens can participate in respectful discussions on political issues. One of the co-founders of the organization is actually a professional marriage counselor. So many of the Braver Angels communication strategies are based on marriage counseling theory and practice. And as Molly mentioned, the original name of the group was Better Angels. That was taken from Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address when he called on the nation to appeal to the better angels of our nature in order to forgive and heal the nation which had been divided by the bloody Civil War. Unfortunately, as she also mentioned, another organization already had the name and they were going to sue for copyright damages. So the name was changed from Better Angels to Braver Angels. Okay. Now the approach, I'm sorry, I want to go back one here. Our approach is guided by the Braver Angels Pledge. As individuals, we try to understand the other side's point of view, even if we don't agree with it. In our communities, we engage with those we disagree with, looking for common ground and ways to work together. And finally, in our politics, we support principles that bring us together rather than further divide us. We use strategies, as I mentioned, for respectful conversations in order to achieve the goals. And these do come out of marriage counseling, and they're fairly simple and straightforward. It's not rocket science. First, there's three things we try not to do. Try to avoid hyperbole. We try not to interrupt the other person, allow them to finish whatever they're going to say. And we try to avoid gotcha questions. Those are questions which are not questions of true curiosity, but questions that are to lay a trap for someone so that you can make your point. So those are the things we try not to do. things we try to do are, first of all, allow the other person to fully explain their position before we speak. Use an I statement rather than a you statement when you're speaking. And the next one I think is the most powerful that I've found in our group. Tell a personal story to illustrate where your belief is coming from rather than simply repeating a political statement or a talking point. I think when we personalize where our political agenda comes from, it really makes it more human. We can really talk to each other in a respectful manner. Also, try to find the value statement underlying the other person's political beliefs, such as fairness or honesty or freedom. I think we often find that we truly have the same goals as human beings, what we're trying to get to, but often we see the world in a different way, and we're trying to reach those goals using different strategies, which divides us. And finally, always seek areas of agreement. Now, we do this, and our goal is, respectful conversations, and the goal is to move on this continuum in a more positive manner. So as we're dealing with someone who we disagree with, we might start out feeling that they are our enemy, right? Or they're deplorable, or they've been duped. They're good people, but they simply have been duped. I mean, then finally, we might come to the point where we see, well, maybe they do have something to contribute. Maybe something they're saying has some value and some merit. And finally, we want to say they have a lot to contribute. So that's our goal, is to move in that continuum as we deal with people who disagree with us. So we move from hatred and disdain and pity to try to see basic respect, and then finally respect and actually appreciation for the other person. So I'd like to tell you the personal story of how I became involved in Braver Angels. Leading up to and especially following the 2016 presidential election, I had become increasingly angry about the political situation in our country. It got to the point, that if I became involved in a discussion about politics and someone disagreed with me, I would probably be shouting at them within the first 2 minutes of the conversation. I had neighbors and friends who voted for the other party in the election. I knew them to be good people, but I began to despise them for their political views. I found myself spending a lot of time mulling over the problems in our country and blaming those whom I disagreed with for those problems. Sometimes I couldn't even sleep at night because I was so angry. I realized this was not good for my relationships nor for my own mental health and peace of mind. About that time, I happened to see an ad on Facebook for a group called Better Angels, which talked about bringing people of different political persuasions together to talk to one another in a respectful manner. The post was advertising a workshop here in Madison called Depolarizing from Within, and I decided to attend. At that particular workshop, we were divided into two groups, reds for conservatives and blues for liberals and progressives. We were led through a series of exercises which helped us to understand how we had come to demonize and dehumanize those who disagreed with us. Following that training session, I joined a newly formed Better Angels at that time discussion group here in Madison. We began meeting twice a month on Tuesday evenings in a coffee shop on the east side. We were reds and blues, and we were committed to having respectful discussions about the polarizing issues which have divided us as a nation. When COVID hit later that year, we switched to Zoom meetings, and our group has continued to meet online bi-monthly for the past 2 years. Since joining Braver Angels, I believe I have become much less angry. I have learned how to have respectful and mostly calm discussions about hot-button political and social issues. I have learned to see people who disagree with me not as stupid or uninformed or the enemy who must be defeated or suppressed at all costs, but instead I see them as human beings, friends, and fellow citizens who see the world in a very different way than I do because of their life experiences and because of their information sources. I have probably changed some of my political views somewhat, but more importantly, I hope that I have become more curious and much less self-righteous when I deal with those who disagree with me. I have learned skills for engagement at the workshop, and then I've had the opportunity to practice those Braver Angel skills at our bi-monthly discussion group meetings. I've had the opportunity to escape from my echo chamber of self-reinforcing viewpoints and develop personal relationships with people who see the world in a very different way than I see it. As a consequence, I am no longer quite so quick to disrespect, dehumanize, and demonize those who disagree with my political views. Also, because of Braver Angels, I've consciously worked to obtain information from sources which disagree with me. This helps me to understand why the other 50% of the nation believes what it does. So if this sort of thing sounds interesting to you, there are many ways in which you can become involved. On the local level, you can consider joining a Braver Angels Alliance. This is what we call our small groups. We are Reds and Blues who meet regularly to discuss difficult political topics and to get to know each other as human beings rather than as the enemy. Our alliance has about 14 regular members, and on any given Tuesday evening, 7 to 10 of us will show up for discussion on Zoom. Because we are now on Zoom, our members are not only from Madison, but also from Milwaukee, northern Wisconsin, and southwest Wisconsin. Here's a list of some of the topics that we've discussed over the past few years. COVID mask and vaccine mandates, racism, anti-racism, and Black Lives Matter, energy policy, global warming, medical treatment for transgender youth, socialism versus capitalism, voter fraud and voter suppression, gerrymandering, gun safety, gun control, gun rights, gun freedom, however you want to talk about it, appropriate discussion of gender and sexuality in elementary schools, the events of January 6th and the January 6th committee investigation, and we've talked about which news sources do you trust and why. We follow the Braver Angel strategies for respectful conversations, but that does not mean that our discussions are without strongly held beliefs, emotions, and feelings. At times, things can become quite heated because we are committed to long-term relationships, these storms can be weathered. Here is an email which I sent to one of our members following a meeting in which she had become quite passionate about her point of view and felt that she had embarrassed herself. Lori, you did not humiliate yourself. Do you remember when I got all revved up talking about gun control? Braver Angels is a safe space where we can weather the emotional storms that arise when we express our true deep feelings on these issues, because we understand we are committed to the long-term relationships which we have formed. We are not robots. Anger and passion are part of our humanity. Your comments are always insightful and heartfelt. Let's keep on talking. Since joining Braver Angels, as I mentioned, So one of the important things which I've learned since becoming involved in Braver Angels is the fact that people on different sides of the political spectrum tend to get almost all their information from sources which agree with them in their particular viewpoint. And this contributes to the difficulty which we have when we attempt to talk with one another. So I've decided to make a conscious effort to see the events of the day from both sides of the spectrum. In the past, I had received most of my information from the very blue New York Times. I now also have a subscription to a very red online source, the Epoch Times. The Epoch Times has the largest number of subscribers of any news agency in the world. I also have subscribed to a blog called Tangle. The author of Tangle addresses a different political topic or current event each day and presents commentaries from two or three left-leaning sources and two or three right-leaning sources. This helps me to get a complete picture of how others are viewing the events in the world. Braver Angels also offers a large number of opportunities for depolarization on a national level. First, if you pay the exorbitant $12 per year membership fee, you'll receive a weekly newsletter which outlines current workshops, debates, podcasts, regional meetings, and so forth. There are podcasts presented by Braver Angels spokespersons. One is by a Red, John Wood Jr. John Wood was chair of the Los Angeles Republican Party and also at one time a Republican candidate for Congress from the LA District. John is an eloquent speaker and interviewer, and he models the concept of respectful conversations during his interviews. Another podcast host is a Blue, Monica Gutzman. Monica is a progressive journalist from Seattle, whose parents are very red first-generation immigrants from Mexico. She realized that she needed to learn how to talk to them across the political divide. Eventually, she went on a tour of the country talking with people across the political spectrum and wrote a book about that experience. There are several skills workshops which previously were held locally, but since COVID, now they've become online opportunities for learning Braver Angels depolarization skills. These include skills for bridging the divide, in which you can learn what it takes to have a constructive, non-polarizing conversation between people who disagree politically. Depolarizing within, in which you learn how to recognize your own polarizing thoughts and behaviors, and also learn how to intervene in a constructive way in social conversations that veer into contempt and ridicule for those who hold other political views. There's families in politics, in which you can learn how to talk about politics with your family members. And finally, race conversations, which teaches participants to talk about race in an inquisitive, non-judgmental manner. In these workshops, you learn skills by practicing hypothetical conversations. Here's an example from the Skills for Bridging the Divide workshop. And I should mention, in these workshops, you're divided into reds and blues, so the examples that you get are targeted to your particular political persuasion. So your cousin says, we need more border walls, and I don't know why people can't see that. It's a simple solution. Assuming that you've been listening for a while, which of the following would be your next best response? A, I'm interested in how you feel about immigration in general. B, are you aware that most undocumented people who enter the country don't walk across the border but come in airplanes and overstay their visas? C, why not more electronics security? And D, you and I could not be more different on this issue. Well, I think it's probably obvious that A is probably the best response if you want to have an ongoing conversation. And again, it's that element of curiosity. Be truly curious about why the person believes what they do and where they're coming from as a human being. Continuing with that example, now it's time for you to express your opinion in response to your cousin. Which of the following would be your best first statement? A, I'll be straight with you, the wall won't protect the country. B, I hear your concerns, but I don't think a wall is the solution. C, I come at this as a liberal who thinks there's too much anti-immigrant sentiment in this country right now. Excuse me. And D, it sounds like we both agree about the value of legal immigration for the country. And you and I both come from a family of immigrants. And again, D would be the proper answer in the Braver Angel spirit. We're trying to find common ground in ways that we agree as human beings as we move forward. After learning how to communicate respectfully from one or more of these skills workshops, you can then participate in what are called experiential workshops. In these workshops, equal numbers of reds and blues are brought together to talk about either a range of political issues or simply to focus on one issue in particular while using respectful conversation skills. There are also one-on-one conversations in which you are paired with someone of an opposing political viewpoint and you have a series of scheduled Braver Angel-style conversations with that particular person. There are Braver Angels national debates. These occur twice a month, and they're online. Often 400 to 600 people are in attendance via Zoom. They are moderated by a trained debate chair to ensure that Braver Angels' respectful conversation guidelines are followed. The way it works is a specific resolution is discussed. 8 speakers, 4 pro and 4 con, are chosen ahead of time to each give a 4-minute presentation either in favor of or opposed to the resolution. There's a 1-minute period for questioning of either speaker from anyone in the audience. And then each of the speakers has another 2 minutes to speak again and respond to the opposing viewpoints that were presented. Finally, the discussion is opened up to the entire audience, and anyone may make comments or raise questions. This format encourages everyone present to speak or ask questions. It ensures civility and disagreement, and it strives for learning and better understanding for all. Some of the resolutions that have been debated over the past few years include resolved, the United States is a racist nation. Resolved, voter fraud is a major problem in U.S. elections. Resolved, American capitalism promotes human flourishing. And resolved, women's equality requires access to abortion. Braver Angels is also scheduling and supporting college campuses in these types of debates, usually in person. And this is an effort to help expose our younger generation to the benefits of respectful as opposed to polarizing politics. Probably the boldest initiative of Braver Angels is an effort to convince politicians to dial back the anger and the vitriol and the polarization by participating in respectful debates utilizing Braver Angels' ground rules. In fact, during the last election cycle, there was a Braver Angels debate between 2 congressional candidates in Minnesota and 2 senatorial candidates in Maine. Wouldn't it be great if we had a presidential debate in which the candidates treated one another with respect rather than contempt and ridicule, and actually participated in a constructive back and forth about issues rather than simply hurling sound bites and canned talking points at one another? So that's the scope of Braver Angels and the activities and opportunities for participation in our efforts to depolarize our national politics. So I'd like to open it up to questions you might have about Braver Angels and also perhaps a broader discussion of your own thoughts on the problem of political polarization in America today and what some of the solutions might be. Thanks. Does anybody have any questions to begin with? Or thoughts, general? And you know, we've heard about tribalism and what's tearing our country apart today, and that's what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to open our minds and be curious and treat each other as human beings, but because of the political climate, we've become so much in our own silos. Everybody often that we deal with on a daily basis feels the same way we do, and the people who disagree with us are other, they're not even human anymore. They're other beings that have to be suppressed. So yeah, this is why this was formed, really. The 3 or 4 people who formed this, they were so appalled at the fact that we couldn't talk to each other because a lot of people feel that our politics has become our new religion, right? People don't have religious belief anymore, but they have political beliefs that are very strong and very passionate, and that's where their social group is. And so it's almost like the religious wars, you know, back in the Middle Ages, that people are so angry and disassociated from each other, we can't talk, and eventually it comes to violence. So this is particularly what we're trying to deal with, bring people together to see each other as human beings in a respectful way so we can break out of those silos, out of those tribal communities that we have, and try to see each other in a positive way to move forward. We aren't going to agree. We still disagree, but in a respectful manner that sees the other person as a human being. Now, this is true, and the reality of Braver Angels is it's a big problem. The leadership is committed to trying to have equal representatives from both sides. And in fact, when we have a meeting, there is a rule, it has to be at least 60-40, because we don't want people to be bullied and forced into silence. So the effort is very much to obtain equal numbers of people. When you go to a workshop, it has to be equal. In our own small group, we've tried to keep it equal. We have more blues being in Madison, but we try to keep it to that because we don't want it to be shifted. But Braver Angels is an imperfect organization. It's very much overrepresented by blues, by college-educated people, by people who are over 50, and by white people. So there is a great urgency to try to get as many people of all parts, all tribes in America involved. But it is overrepresented by those groups right now. And we're reaching out all the time to try to reach everybody in our country to come together. But you're right. There's some people who like to sit around and talk about politics, right? There's some people who don't care. They don't want to sit and talk for 2 hours about a political discussion. It's not in their lifestyle. So there are this group of people that often tend to be more blue and things that like to sit around and have these discussions. So it's a problem, but the goal is to really have equal representation because our country is divided pretty evenly right now. Yeah, this is key, and this is the problem. It's an incredibly difficult problem, facts, and that's why that's where a lot of this comes from. Where we get our beliefs are, you know, our human experience growing up, our families, what we've experienced in the world, and also what our information sources are, and that's what feeds our view of the world. And we can get locked in to information sources. So we're always disagreeing on facts, and it's in my group, in our small group, we talked about climate change. And we have people who, I think everybody agrees there's some climate change, I'm just saying the different views, but they feel that somewhat is overhyped or the way we're going about it is wrong, that type of thing. And they have different facts, and we in our group often will, in between meetings, we'll be emailing news sources, news items back and forth to each other. And I've learned a lot from that because there are different points of view. So, but getting, you know, it's the problem in our country today. We see the world in a different way. We haven't overcome that problem, but the more we can share, where did that come from? Show me your facts. I don't disagree with them, but we can at least understand how that person's mind came to that. It's really tough. We deal with this every time we get together and say, that's not true. I didn't hear about that. Well, you read that all the time, and I read this all the time. And it's incredible. I read the Epoch Times. There are articles in there that you would never read in the New York Times. Topics you would never read about. There are articles in the New York Times that you never hear about that are in the Epoch Times, but vice versa. Our news sources have their own point of view. That's not necessarily bad, but it's true. I think it's interesting. I think the only time I know something is really true is when I see the same thing in the Epoch Times and the New York Times. I know it has to be true, right? Because it is. But it's incredible the way our news sources feed our facts, and it's a tough issue. We have to keep talking about it. Well, the religious issues often come to bear on politics, right? And in our own group, we have people who are very committed to certain religious persuasions, and that affects their politics. There is Braver Angels has so many things. Braver Angels actually has a group of people who discuss religious differences. So that is there. It's a specific workshop, I think, and also group that meets. Our other groups are more politically involved, but religion always is part of that, right? I mean, that's where so much of our politics comes from. So it is an issue that we discuss a lot, and people are very passionate. And again, it's something we have to listen to the other person. Where are you coming from? You know, because we are different. We're not the same. Yeah.
Thank you.
Just a quick comment on that. I've read some things about that, too. I agree with you. I think people would disagree with you that it's always better to trust. And I think if you look, I've just read this, so I'm not saying it's my point of view, but conservative people tend not to trust people as much, and liberal people tend to overtrust people and be naive, and therefore they get into systems which don't work because they're too naive about trusting people. So it's a debate that goes in our small group, and we have people who trust more and people who say, no, human beings they have badness in them. We have to deal with evil as well as good. So it's a great topic, though, I agree, and it does focus your view of the world, right? So that's the key. I mean, that's the whole thing, because we are passionate about our beliefs. When you deeply feel that this is a moral... Monica Gutsman has one of her presentations about where do you draw the red line? In fact, where do you stop talking to someone? Because I just am not going to talk to you. You're so far away. And she is talking with another kind of thought person. They come to the conclusion there's no place they would stop, that you talk to everybody. But it's very difficult. But part of it is being respectful. Because someone, you know, take abortion. I mean, abortion, someone who really believes in women's rights is not going to budge. And someone who really believes that's killing a baby is not going to budge. It's a very interesting story. In Ireland, like 30 years ago, 24 women got together, 12 on each side, to talk about abortion. They are still talking about it today. None of them have changed their mind, but they're still talking to each other. It's an interesting story. Another interesting story that I learned in Braver Angels is you may have heard this story. There's a African-American jazz musician in the South, and he started going to this bar where there were KKK members. And he started talking to them, just hanging out with them and stuff. He has 20 KKK robes in his closet of people he has talked down from being in the KKK. So the question is, should we just not talk to these people? Are beyond the, a lot of people say those people are beyond the beyond. They're not human. I'm not going to talk to them. They should be killed. They should be ostracized, put in jail, you know, et cetera. So it's a big question. I don't have the answer, but my mind has been open to, we have to talk to each other, even though we don't disagree. Because if we don't talk to each other, the next step is we take out our guns. I mean, that's what America is about. We're trying to deal with this in democracy and not with, you know, violence. But it's a great question. I don't have a good answer for you. I get very emotional about topics. I have a hard time still talking with people who disagree with me. It's not easy. But I think you can get better at it. You can be curious and learn, try to get inside their head and see them as the big thing I think is see them as a human being and not as the enemy and not as someone who is so irredeemable that I just am not going to deal with them anymore. That, I think, well, I was getting to that point. I didn't want to be there. So. Okay, yeah, last question, I guess, because of time. Yeah, no, it's true. We talk about this a lot in our group, too, and it's a big fact. There are things in Braver Angels that talk about social media and the fact that, you know, it is a money-making venture, and they're trying to get you to look at it, and you look at it a lot more if you're looking at things that you agree with and you're angry about, and you can kind of get into it, so it kind of drives more clicks, so they make more money. So, and that's talked about in Braver Angels. There are even workshops and things about that. A lot of people stop looking at social media as part of it. But it is, I get things too. I still look at social media, but I become less, you know, in the past, I'd probably send off some angry thing back at the person who I disagree with. I don't do that so much anymore. And I kind of see it as a side. It's like, that's not the issue to sit and talk anonymously to someone about some issue, you know, over in the other part of the country. And I'm having some discussion. It's more important that I talk with someone I know and understand as a human being and understand why they feel that way. And I talk to them over and over, not at a one-night session, but over time to find out, oh, that's how they feel. And that's how they, not that I'm even trying to change their mind, but trying to understand them. So a lot of that stuff that goes on in social media, it kind of rolls off my shoulders. That's just my view, and I don't have a great answer to it. I agree with you completely. It's really a tainted system, and I don't know how we're going to get out of it. So,
yeah. One of the benefits of being the minister is I get to have the last word sometimes. I thank you very much. I've been looking forward to this presentation for quite some time because I think this is the central issue of our times that we need to wrestle with. I reread a book which I love called Faith Without Certainty by Paul Reiser while I was on vacation, and it sort of follows the path of modernity and liberal religion and all those kind of things, and kind of where we are in this postmodern world. And the key, the big switch that happened that led us from the past times to modernity was that questioning of authority and that placement of what is true and real. You hear this all the time in our liberal churches. The individual should be the source of what is most true. But what we're learning is that over time we are learning that that is a dangerous thing. Because we are very myopic based on our social position, where we came into the world, how we, you know, the experiences that we have are what feed that piece around, is the world safe or is the world not safe? And what we've been taught in our society is to find our truth and then defend it first and foremost. Question about how do we change the world? You've heard me say this before, the large imitates the small. The only place we can change is ourselves, and those changes that we individually and as communities make are the only things that can change the large. And if you think that we don't have work to do in this community, there was just a discussion on our online forum. I put out a thing to say, hey, we might want to think about something. There's some folks in the community that have pulled away from this discussion forum that is a place to get information about this community. And every single response, certainly I think some thought that it was the authority figure saying, I don't want to do this. Every single response was, I think this, so they should change. I think this, so this should stay the same. Not a single person asked about, tell me more about where this is coming from. And if you had, you would have heard that there are at least 10 people, maybe more, that have asked to be pulled out of this very important discussion forum because they don't want it to be a part of that. So I was trying to see, is there a way that we can make sure that everybody's included in the conversation and everybody gets what they want? But we never got there because everybody started with, well, this is what I want. This is the work of our times. So thank you very much for inviting, for sharing this with us. And I support your work and hope to see more of it. Thank you.